From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Well, we are excited to bring to the show Greg Davison and Savannah Fine of Park City Toastmasters. They join us today to really analyze Lynn and I and our speech. However, but they also want to discuss how we all can improve our public speaking skills. And they are dispelling the notion that public speaking is the number one and largest fear. Filler words, body language, facial expressions, how to speak, and little known skills of how to listen while speaking will be discussed today on our show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us, Pete and Lynn. It really is an honor to be here with you today, and it's an honor to represent as Park City Toastmasters' new president here with Greg, the previous president. It truly is an honor to be here with both of you in the studio today.
Honor and challenge for Lynn and I, for sure. We certainly accept that, and we are counting, as all of you who are listening are counting, how many likes we all use. Greg, give us a little bit of the genesis of Toastmasters.
Toastmasters is a worldwide nonprofit speaking organization that was started over 70 years ago by a gentleman named Smedley. Now, Smedley's...
Hey now.
Got to have some love and respect. Smedley's genius was that he could start an organization that was all about learning to speak by speaking. And this transformed the then organizations doing the same thing and has stood the test of time, is worldwide, and the local chapter here in Park City, started by our friend and past John Henry, has survived 20 years. This will be its 20th year.
Wow, that's an amazing legacy that John Henry has left our community. And it makes me think of the 10,000 hour rule when you say public speakers who are actually public speaking, not just reading about it or watching other people public speak. How many hours of public speaking can one Toastmaster get in a year?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I'm a full believer of the blink theory, that it's either 2,000 or 10,000 hours to mastery. But I'll tell you this, public speaking is a perishable skill. So whether you're speaking to impact, whether you're speaking to education, whether you're speaking to motivate, and guys, I just dropped the rule of three on you. If you're not doing it once a month, well, you're have a perishable skill. So Park City Toastmasters' goal is to get everybody who comes speaking, but to give a speech once a month.
Savannah, tell us about the various components that you'll find in every Toastmaster meeting.
Oh, I love our Toastmaster meetings, and I think one of the first things that really stood out to me was just the positive feedback that we'd receive. So when you come to a Toastmaster meeting, there will be generally three speeches, and each of those speakers will be evaluated by three people. And there's also a fun segment in there called Table Topics that includes the rest of the members who are not speaking or filling roles that week. And it gives us an opportunity to speak for 1 to 2 minutes on a fun topic or question provided by a Toastmaster member that week. So it's really fun, engaging meeting, lots of components for a new member. Sometimes it's a lot to keep up with, but you settle into a rhythm, and every week is such a blast. We have so much fun.
So you keep saying fun, fun, fun. And I can imagine that some of our listeners are saying that sounds more like torture than fun,
yeah.
Especially to be posed a table topic question impromptu, and your mind draws a blank instead of a brilliant answer to this question. But let's talk about the types of questions. You typically avoid politics and religion, thank goodness. What might a question be?
Yeah, so there's a whole list of roles that our members can volunteer to fill out every week. And so depending on the member, the questions can look very different. They can be very humorous, they can be very practical. One of the questions from this previous week was, what was a fun memory you had from using a telephone landline way back in the day? So like, what was the most important phone call you received or a highlight memory from that? And it just was fun to go back in time and to pull out those stories, and you connect with the members in a deeper way as they're pulling out previous experiences and memories. So it really is fun. I'll be honest, speaking was my number one fear, and that's why I joined Toastmasters. And table topics scared me to death. So a lot of times, I'll be honest, the first couple of weeks, I'd sign up for roles so that I could avoid the table topics.
Oh, I used to do that all the time in Toastmasters. If I evaluate, they won't call on me for table topics.
Yes.
Which is, right, we have to all do things that we fear. Do something you fear every day.
Yes.
Right? So you're just great. You've just answered a couple impromptu questions of ours, right?
Oh,
so you didn't draw a blank. You've overcome that fear.
There's a so.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, I do want to jump into this fear idea, because many people do have this notion that public speaking is for extroverts and public speaking is for those who are competent and professional. And this reality of fear and, you know, revealing yourself and the standing in front of everybody naked, you know, whatever, you know, talk to us a little bit about how do you bring someone who might have that fear through this journey of progression? And is it possible to not be afraid?
I think, well, I've heard it said before, it's almost impossible for a speaker not to be afraid before a speech. There is a level of trepidation, and what is the crowd going to think of what I'm saying, and how are they going to receive it, and can I engage them? I think there's a lot of questions flying through a speaker's mind, but it's really how you face that challenge. And so coming into Toastmasters, I felt like Toastmasters was a really safe place to practice and to mess up. And I receive a lot of positive feedback and correction, and I always walk away from Toastmaster meetings encouraged, inspired, empowered, and so excited about coming back the next week. So it really has been a positive experience. And for those introverts, I'm an introvert too, and don't love the spotlight, don't love the idea of being in front of a bunch of people, but Toastmasters has been so incredibly empowering in that way, and a really great community to learn and grow alongside with.
So you might have something to say. You might be an introvert, but you do have something to say. So there will be fear associated with speaking. Mm-hmm. That's a given. And once you acknowledge the fact that there's fear, now is the question is, how are you going to overcome it? Now, Toastmasters traditionally has some models and methods to overcome fear. Organize your speech. Practice your speech. Practice your speech again. Give your speech to your dog. All of that is good. But you do not overcome the fear of public speaking until you speak publicly. So that leads us to the next aspect. Where are you going to learn? You should think about Park City Toastmasters, because the community at Park City Toastmasters is why it's been around for 20 years. It is warm, it is friendly, and it is where you belong if you're looking to develop your message and your communication.
We're speaking with Greg Davison and Savannah Fine of Park City Toastmasters today, and I want to also breach this topic of COVID. A lot of people have had such isolation and time to reflect and time away from larger crowds, and the idea of public speaking, I think, is even further remote from their reality. How are you responding, or how has your group responded to COVID? And then what have you seen with people's trepidations with public speaking currently as we come out of COVID? Greg, if you want to answer that.
Well, COVID was a transformational experience and continues to be for Park City Toastmasters and everybody on the planet. That's the real deal. So if you have trepidation about speaking, our meetings are hybrid in nature. That's a transformation that Park City Toastmasters engaged in. So we have a concurrent Zoom meeting and a live meeting. Currently, the live meeting gets about two-thirds of the participants, and one-third are online. which is a big convenience for both the members who are traveling, as well as the numerous out-of-state and international guests who participate in our meetings, which is pretty cool, pretty wild. But COVID has changed in a lot of ways what we're going to do. So many of us, our communication skills have become even more important, whether that's over a Zoom meeting or talking with family or even live and in person. Practice makes perfect. Toastmasters may just be the key for you.
Mm. You are now meeting at the Sheldon Richens building. Is that correct? And that was where Toastmasters got its start, and then it's moved around a little bit. It was out at the Intermountain Park City Hospital, which was great, but then once COVID hit, that was out of the question. You're back at Sheldon Richens. It's also a great spot. That's the library building at Kimball Junction. Talk a little bit about how the meetings are happening. And there are many organizations that are now doing hybrid because we're tired of Zoom. Zoom is very convenient, however. And so we're trying to do a little bit of both. And in a lot of meetings I've been in, it sort of falls flat on its face. How's Toastmasters pulling it off in a way that really fosters public speaking skill?
Well, I'll tell you what. Greg and his team have done an incredible job adapting to the changes that COVID has brought. And we were just talking yesterday about the progression of the telephone from a landline telephone to now we're doing Zoom calls all the time. And so the way their team has adapted and implemented those changes is really incredible. And so with the new leadership team this year, 2021, we're excited to take those changes and continue to perfect them and make them smooth and seamless. But as we have it right now, we're meeting in the Sheldon Richens building and pretty much like a normal meeting. And we have cameras set up for a live Zoom connected. And so you get a great view of the speaker and of the room setting, and you almost feel like you're right there in the room with everybody, though it's not quite the same. And the transition has been really, I mean, we've worked out some kinks. It's definitely been a challenge to overcome, but we've really figured out a smooth process for going back and forth between speakers over Zoom and speakers in person. So it's just been a really fun challenge to adapt with, continue to overcome and make better.
ParkCityToastmasters.org, correct? .com?
Wow, the hot seat. Just go ahead and Google Park City Toastmasters.
And you'll find it.
You'll find it.
That's the important thing. You can show up as a guest. Guests are not put on the spot other than to introduce themselves and talk a little bit about why they decided to come this morning, or talk a very tiny, teeny, tiny amount about why they wanted to come in the morning at... Is it still at 7 a.m. to 8:15?
Wow, that is a really challenging time to speak early in the morning in front of people. I would have to have a lot of coffee.
Can I talk about that for a second?
Go for it, Greg.
The 7 a.m. start time has been and continues to be the primary and principal objection of people that are very interested in Toastmasters here in Park City, but can't find a way to get themselves there. Listen, guys, 7 a.m., as I used to joke with the former president, Ashley Penwell, you know, it's early, but our Tuesdays were the best day of our week. Why?
So true.
Our ability to connect and grow and challenge ourselves. And I know you're normally used to getting up at 9, 10, maybe even later. And trust me, when you're giving speeches in the beginning, you won't sleep on Monday night anyway, so don't worry about it. Your Tuesday morning will become that electric, special, driving component to just help you grow and challenge yourself in a community where you truly belong.
Hmm. Well, I would have to do some vocal stretching before, just like I do my stretching before a workout at 7 a.m. Do you have an example of perhaps a vocal stretch, Savannah, that you encourage the team members to do before they start speaking?
Oh, Pete, that's terrible. I always bring lots of coffee or tea into Toastmasters with me, and I love the early hour because, especially when I'm giving a speech, you wake up, you get your coffee, you're energized, you're vamped to go, and you're not thinking about it all day long and dreading it. but it's first thing in the morning. You feel encouraged walking away from it and like you just conquered or crushed a day. So I highly encourage any of you to come despite the early hour, and I could promise you it's going to be the best thing that you experience, and you're going to love it.
So no Peter Piker picked a pebble. I can't even do
one
it.
You can't do it at 10.
I can't.
One thing Toastmasters does work on a lot is vocal variety as a way of creating impact, drama, attention getting. That doesn't really require vocal tongue exercises or throat, upper pharynx, whatever you might be engaged in. But vocal variety is a powerful tool to just bring the audience through your communication set or speech or whatever it might be. Monotone truly is the death of entertainment.
Right. Sometimes you want to speak at a really quick rate, really draw people in. And other times you need to use the pause. Very powerful. And you can tell Craig's a long time Toastmaster. He employs all of those techniques that I think they're probably just baked into you at this point.
They do. They become habitualized so that while we're in the moment, while we're stressed, they just flow. They're natural. They're organic. But we do other things as well. We do stage movement. We do observation of the audience, speaking to the audience, and how to do it in a way that's effective and impactful. We use things like holographic anchoring, looking up into the sky or looking up above people's heads. We use how to place your hands, not in like a T-Rex hands, but out in the golden orb, holding about a beach ball in front of you. Now, this can be a half a golden orb or a whole golden orb, and you can do your whole speech with your hands in this position. It's effective, it's safe, your hands are open so that people don't see it as a threat. These are just a few of the techniques we go over both in the beginning and in more advanced stages.
There is a word, anomia, and I only know this word because I have a game by the same name. Do you know this game?
Oh, yes.
Anomia basically means when you just can't think of a word. And the game sort of fosters that horrible thing that happens to us when we can't think of a word. There are also tips in Toastmaster to help you when that happens to you. So say it's table topics. Savannah, how might you approach it when someone asks you a question and your mind goes absolutely 100% blank?
Well, I'll tell you, at first, it was a little bit of a trial and error. It was way out of my comfort zone. But when you're called upon, you answer the best you can. And we do have a grammarian who gives us a word of the day. So not only are you supposed to answer this question on the fly, but you're supposed to remember to incorporate this word into your speech. So there's a lot to remember and there's a lot flying through your head. I think the more you practice and the more you do it, the more comfortable you get with it. And it's really helped me approach a lot of those on the fly questions more comfortably and with a little more confidence. Slowing down, thinking about it for a second, choosing my words carefully, and getting creative. Sometimes a question flies at you that's not applicable to your experience or you have no knowledge about. And so it's learning how to creatively restructure that question and reroute it a little bit to still engage your audience.
I'm visualizing that your grammarian is kind of like a sommelier, or where they're walking around with, you know, the towel on their arm, and they just gently disperse words and grammar that you are to sprinkle into your speech. It's beautiful. It's a very Park City image. what for you, Greg, are some of your favorite topics, you know, that you have just thrown out over the past few years that really stand out to you as just speeches or dialogues that have been quintessential in your experience there?
That's a great question. And the truth of the matter is Park City Toastmasters is a great place to come to get turn on to a new concept or idea that might just tickle your fancy and lead you down the road. If I can speak specifically, we've had members, Sue Ann Kern and John, who have completed the leadership program, Park City's leadership program. And they gave a few speeches about the way culture has been changing in Park City, something I guess was a major focus of that leadership group most recently. I was really intrigued by this, and I went deep, ended up buying a few books on culture, high-performance culture, and found that if we can create a safe environment at Park City Toastmasters, we can improve the level and the performance of the culture. If we allow everyone, what does that safety look like? It means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You can expect to never be judged. You can expect to always be helped. You can be safe. So that's just one element where something's really taken me down the rabbit hole. There are others.
We're speaking with Greg Davison and Savannah Fine of Park City Toastmasters. Just Google them. Park City Toastmasters, come as a guest. They meet Tuesdays at 7 a.m. It's not as painful as it sounds. Bring your coffee or whatever it is that you drink in the morning. They also meet live in person at the Sheldon Richens building at Kemble Junction. That's where the library and the DMV is. And on Zoom. Right. So you can just, if you want to join as a guest, you send an email and then they'll send you the Zoom link, or can you find it on the website?
On the website's a contact us form, and we'll send you a little message as well as a Zoom link for the concurrent meeting.
I wanted to make a quick point about how valuable this is for introverts. What you were saying, Savannah, a few moments ago made me think about it. I'm an extrovert. I have, of course, been scared of public speaking, but not to the degree that maybe an introvert would. I would always, very often, do things on the fly. I wouldn't know what I was going to speak about. I'd wake up at 4 a.m. I'd sort of half write the speech, but then I thought, oh, I'll just kind of do it on the fly. I'll just deliver. And I would go over in time. I'd go long all the time. It was kind of obvious that I was a little underprepared, but I was having a good time and I could sort of wing it and fake it a little bit. And I will tell you, I did not get as much out of the practice as someone who is an introvert, who has to do all the things you talked about, Greg, which is to practice in front of the mirror, practice to your dog, organize your speech, do all of that. And so I do think that Toastmasters is a very great group for an introvert. In that way, you're going to get so much more out of it. So that's just my little
I love that
cheer.
And we love introverts and extroverts. I know that I learn so much from extroverts, and hopefully vice versa. We need each other. And there's a lot of different ways of speaking and preparing to speak, and we inspire each other in that way. So I need my extroverts too. But yeah, for sure. Love your point.
And off air, we were just talking a little bit more about the power of listening as a key component to effective public speaking. And Greg, if you in a minute or so could just kind of talk about that importance. And honestly, introverts are so much better at listening than extroverts, and I'm a self-proclaimed extrovert who doesn't listen. What where
The Toastmaster meeting is divided into three parts. The first is the organized speeches, the second is the impromptu speaking, and the third is the evaluations. The evaluations is really where the magic of the meeting happens. Toastmasters listen and use a wraparound critique model. For example, we might say that, you know, you have a great presence on stage. You speak very effectively and forward. You use great vocal variety. But may I suggest keeping eye contact to create a connection, moving on the stage a little bit more holistically. So being able to observe is really the only way we're going to move forward as speakers. And I got a feeling I'm right up to my 60-second time frame, so I'm going to turn it back over to Lynn.
Which is another great skill of Toastmasters. You learn how to speak not too long, just the right amount. Well done.
Perfect timing.
Savannah Fine and Greg Davison. Greg was a past president. Savannah's the new president of Park City Toastmasters. Again, just Google them. Come as a guest. Come on Zoom, come in person, bring your coffee or your donut, whatever it takes. It's a wonderful group. And this has been a great conversation. Thank you both for coming in today. We've learned, right, Pete? We're going to see you there next Tuesday?
Come on, Pete. It's only 7 a.m.
All right, send me the Zoom link. I'll roll over, I'll wake up, and I'll start talking right there.
Thanks for
having us.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.